learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shaar Beis, the second gate, Perek Yud Beis, chapter 12. What we spoke about in the last class was that when a person davens, so firstly he should have intention that he wants to make Hashem king of the world. But his davening, he wants to use his davening to that Hashem should be a king of the world. So that for sure is something that we see in the Rosh Hashanah davening. The Rosh Hashanah davening is all about making Hashem king of the world. But says Rav Chaim Volozhin, even in our daily davening, which seems to be on our normal needs and our personal needs, that also is hinted to. If you think a little bit deeper into it, it's also hinted to that it's Hashem's needs. And we really should be davening for Hashem's needs. We're davening to empower Hashem. Because the more power we give to Hashem by blessing Hashem, the more He can help us to reach our own potential. So that's the idea of empowering Hashem, and therefore we should have that intention even when we're davening the weekday davening. So then, and if you'll ask, so that's the first point. The second point is that he said, if you'll ask, but we're really asking for our own needs. We're asking for panosa. A person doesn't have food to eat, he doesn't have enough money, he needs refuah shleima, he needs healing, and someone's sick in the family. He's literally asking for his own needs. So he answers, Nefesh HaChaim answers, but that also is for Hashem's needs. Because since the Jewish people are the people of Hashem, so it's not appropriate for them to be impoverished, and it's not appropriate for them to be sickly, and it's not appropriate for them to be weak and downtrodden and miserable. We're the people of Hashem. Why are we in such a sad state? So therefore, in asking for our own personal problems to be resolved, so we're removing the chilul Hashem. Now, when the nations of the world see the Jewish people, you know, this is God's people, right? The chosen people. Look at them, they look like a bunch of tramps. They look like a raggedy doll type nation. So they were the chilul Hashem, that we are the people of Hashem, and that we're in such a state, and we're impoverished, and we're sickly, and we have problems, and we're being surrounded by enemies who hate us, etc. So therefore, in davening for our own needs, we're also davening for Hashem's needs, that there shouldn't be chilul Hashem. It shouldn't reflect badly on Hashem that we're in such a sorry state. And then he goes on to say, and even if you're davening where there's no chilul Hashem involved, something that's a personal issue that you've got, which nobody knows about, there's something that's hurting you. So it's your own personal issue, and you're davening for that. So he says that's also for the need of Hashem. Why? Because we have a teaching that says that any time that a Jew is in pain, Hashem is in pain at the same time. Our pain is Hashem's pain. So when we're suffering, Hashem is suffering. And therefore we can be davening for Hashem's suffering. Now here we need some extra explanation, because the fact that we are in pain, the fact that we have issues, the fact that we have problems, where does that come from? It comes from our own sins. Because we don't live our life the way we should, and we allow ourselves to become led away, and we allow ourselves to become distracted of serving Hashem. So therefore, because we make mistakes and we don't serve Hashem as we should, so therefore Hashem punishes us and He sends us troubles. Our sorrows come from not doing what we're supposed to be doing. If we would function perfectly in terms of doing what we're supposed to be doing, we would never have any sorrows. So therefore sorrows come from our sins, and therefore Hashem gives us sorrows to help us to remedy our sins, so that therefore the pain we're feeling is in order that we should realize that we're doing something wrong. The pain is a wake-up call that we should correct what we're doing wrong. Nevertheless, even though it's pain that Hashem Himself has sent on us, He suffers at the same time. He suffers at the same time, and by begging that Hashem's pain should be removed, if we'll be focused not on our own pain, we're focused on Hashem's pain. By begging that Hashem's pain is removed, so therefore that's also going to help us rid of ourselves of our sin, because we're going to realize what's the reason that I'm in pain, and therefore Hashem is in pain because I've sinned. So this will also help us to remedy ourselves, and therefore the objective is reached by us praying for Hashem's need, because we don't want Hashem to be in pain, and that will, right? And therefore that will lead us to do tshuva, and therefore that's really the objective of the pain in the first place. But in any event, we can, in our davening, in our focus, we can be focusing on Hashem's needs, which is really what the ultimate type of intention is. We're not just davening for our own needs, we're davening for Hashem's pain, because when we're in pain, Hashem is in pain. So here at the beginning of chapter 12, Perek Yud Beis, he goes on with his idea as follows. Lechein amru rizal, and therefore our sages have said, kol ha-meshatev shem shemayim betzaroi, anyone who adds the name of the heavens to his pain, in other words, when he's right, in other words, when he's davening for his own pain, he focuses on Hashem's pain. So that's what the Gemara is speaking about. It's a Gemara in Brachas. So anyone who adds Hashem's pain to his pain, in other words, he focuses on the fact that Hashem is in pain. They double his panosa. That's what it says in the Gemara. They double his panosa. We'll still see what that means. But that's what the Gemara says. If you join Hashem's pain to your pain and you jump for Hashem's pain, you get double the panosa that you've had up to now. Your panosa is double. Ba'inyan, the idea is, ki milvad ze hatzar shenaseh lemala, besides the pain that's generated up in the heavens, kishemekabel onsha b'yusurim, rachman letzlan, when he receives his punishment as affliction, the person, a Jew who has sinned, who's not living his potential, he's not serving Hashem as he could, and he's being punished with afflictions, so therefore when he gets those afflictions, and oruch v'divyon klal ze'atzar shel mala neged oitzam atzar shel gorem lemala v'es asoysa avoin rachman letzlan. There is no comparison, which the pain, we said our pain generates Hashem's pain. However, there's no comparison that pain that's generated by in Shemaim because of our pain, there's no comparison within that pain to the pain that Hashem feels when we sin. Now, so to speak, Hashem has a double pain, because he's in pain when we sin, and then he afflicts us so that we should do tshuva, and then we're in pain, and he's also in pain because of our pain. So we have a single pain, but he has a double pain, because it pains him to see us sin, and then it pains us when we are afflicted, that we are afflicted. See, he gets double pain. And now he's starting to see where the double is coming in. Hashem has double pain to what we have. And he gives an analogy as follows. Ke'inyan ha-bein ha-yokir. Right? Like the example of a beloved son. Shinispata b'yeino. He was drawn after the wine. He went to a party and he drank a little bit too much. And it was something that drew him in. And he became shikah. V'nofa la'aretz. And he got so shikah he fell on the ground. fell off the balcony, v'nishpa mefrakto v'gufoy, and he broke the bones of his body, broke his neck, he broke the bones of his body, v'humasukan, and he's in danger of losing his life. He got drunk, he got shikah, he fell off the balcony, and he broke all his bones of his body, and he's in danger of dying. V'atmo enamagish az klal sekonas nafsho, and the son himself feels no danger at all, because he's happily plastered. You know, the drink there, that's better, the best anesthetic, right? What do you call it? Anesthetic. Yeah, he can't feel anything. So he doesn't feel that he's in pain. K'moshe kosu, ikinu bal chalisi, they struck me without me getting sick, without me feeling any pain. Chalamuni bal yadati, and when they healed me, they also didn't know what was going on. In the meantime, they rushed him to the hospital, and he's still happily... You know, spaced out. Yes, spaced out. Amram Aviv, but his father, Libum is marmem oedalti. His father is very, very bitter and upset. The son's got all his bones broken and his life is in danger. His father is beside himself. His father's mamish, you know, very, very upset. The kasher reifim koshua shvorim, and when the doctors went and bound up all the broken bones, they went and tied up all the broken bones. They put all sorts of dressings and all sorts of plasters, all sorts of bandages, misimonim harifim, using very, very sharp medication, very, 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 very sharp, very, very painful, acidic medication, very sharp medication. Aben matzareh. Then the son's waking up. Now he's got the dressings. His wounds have all been dressed. His bones have all been put into a plaster. And now they started administering this very, very bitter medication. And he starts shouting, crying in pain. Aben matzareh al kev shelo. The son starts screaming out because of his pain. He has simoni macharifim from these very, very sharp medications. Echli beso, which are eating up his flesh. It's like an acid type thing, acidic medication. So now the son's woken up, the wine wore off, and he finds himself in hospital with all of these bandages, and he's crying in pain. And even though that hurts the father, that his son is now in pain, and he's shouting out, and he's groaning over his father, his son's bad situation. And there's no comparison at all to the pain that he's feeling now, right? In regard, as regards to the pain that he felt in the beginning, at the time when the son fell off the balcony and broke his bones, that pain was much, much greater, which when at that point he almost gave up on his son's life. So while his son is now in pain because of his now he's woken up and he's feeling all the pain of the medication and he's in pain and the father's also pain, but that pain is nothing compared to the pain the father felt at the time when the son was happily oblivious, but the father was worried sick that he's going to lose his son's life. That pain was a much greater pain. Okay, so the father has a double pain. The son only has a single pain. And that's our analogy. Now let's apply it back to Hashem. Pain mamashal zeh oifin, in the very same way. This is how it works in terms of sins. When a person does a sin, he creates to the heavens a very great pain. He's going against what the heavens want, and he creates a great pain in the heavens. Something that we cannot imagine. An unimaginable pain is caused in the heavens that we're going against. We're rebelling against the heavens. We're doing exactly what they don't want us to do. We're speaking how they don't want us to speak. We're thinking the way they don't want us to think. We're doing what they don't want us to do. So we cause them a tremendous pain. But the person himself is oblivious. He's oblivious to the fact that he's sinning. He's sinning. Whatever it is, he's speaking Lashon Hara, Bitul Torah, whatever he's doing. He's oblivious. He's happily going on. He's oblivious that he's hurting anyone with his sin. He's sinning, but he's oblivious of it. He doesn't know he's risking his life. Because people don't know the severity of sin. We don't know how we mamish endangering our lives when we sin. We can be cut off from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We can lose our world to come. Certain sins, a person takes, he's going to indulge in this Eastern religion, he's going to try a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of trade, why not? So therefore he indulges himself in the good things in life, the good things, quote unquote, of life, but he's endangering his life. So that's like the father who's worried sick about his son, who fell and broke his bones, that the son's going to die. Yehu nechshav az kameis chas v'sholem. In terms of the sins that he's doing, he could be, he's like a dead person. Ka'amram zal, like our sages teach, Rishoyim b'chayehim, that wicked people in their lives, krui mason, they call dead. And the pshat is they've sinned so badly that they've actually lost all their credits. In the meantime, they're still alive and they're still going on, but they're really, they're heading for the edge of a cliff. That he's driving his sports car at 100 miles an hour, and he's driving straight off to the edge of a cliff, and that's it. That's the way he's going. So therefore, in the heavens they look down and they worried sick about this person. What's happened to him? So he's oblivious and he's mamish in danger. Now there are sins, through those sins a person can get koris. I believe they're breaking Shabbos, for instance, doesn't keep Shabbos, you get koris. Koris is that you cut off from the heavens. It means you're still alive in this world. But in the here, as far as the heavens go, they severe your connection to the heavens. That's koris. Koris means cutting off. We spoke about that before. He loses the connection. Right? That rope that connects him to higher spiritual world, all that gets cut down from his connection. So this is the danger he's in. But the person's oblivious. But at the same time, Hashem himself, Avarachamim, that he is the compassionate father. Hashem is the compassionate father. He feels the pain of others and he feels the pain of his son. The son's in trouble and the father is very, very upset. That Hashem is very upset. What's happened to this person? How much spiritually he's destroying his life. His mom is destroying his life with all of his sins. And because of his great mercy, the chasodav and his great kindness, his Baruch Shemoy, Shalech lo yisurim. So therefore, the father, who is Hashem, sends afflictions to this person. He sends him afflictions. Ashehem eretia v'tachbosh, which are really dressings. They're really bandages. The afflictions of person. So this person who is obliviously sinning left, right, and center. So Hashem starts sending him tzoras. Right? Suddenly he doesn't have panos anymore. And suddenly he doesn't have his health anymore. And suddenly his wife leaves him. Whatever it is. All sorts of tzoras. His children don't want to talk to him anymore. All sorts of tzoras. Right? The bank is foreclosing. Whatever it is. all sorts of Torahs. Hashem is sending him there, which is the dressing, it's the bandage, the marik avon, to cleanse him of his sin. Hashem wants him to do tshuva. So he's sending him these dressings, sending these afflictions. Then the man starts shouting, "Oy vavoy, what's going on in my life? My life's falling apart, everything's going wrong." Now the man starts crying. Yesura, he cries from his pain, from his afflictions and his suffering. And that also causes heavenly pain. And Hashem's in pain with him. Amnam, however, like we said before, in Aruch Klal, there's no comparison at all. There are this pain, the pain of the healing process, because he's being healed now, because he's starting to do tshuva. He sees everything's going wrong in life, he's starting to make corrections in his life. So this pain is nothing compared to the original pain. That's nothing compared to the pain that he caused in the heavens when he sinned. So that's our analogy to the kid who fell off the balcony and he's almost lost his life. So that's when a person sins, so he almost loses his life, or he can lose his life, and Hashem is in pain. That's pain number one. And then Hashem sends him afflictions, and he starts doing tshuva because of the afflictions. And it's all a question of degree. If Hashem afflicts a person enough, he'll have to do tshuva. The question is, sometimes Hashem doesn't afflict us to such a strong degree, and he leaves us with free choice. So a person can just say, it's just bad luck, you know, you lost your business, bad luck, your wife left you, bad luck, your heart's not working anymore, bad luck. You do get people who are very stubborn, they won't accept the lesson. And that's because Hashem does leave them with a free choice. But if Hashem turns up the volume a little bit, he makes the afflictions even stronger, every person will do tshuva. That's for sure. You just make it tough enough, every person will do tshuva. No matter how far he is, how far gone he is. So that's the remedy, that's part two. Then the person is in pain and Hashem is in pain with him. But that's the lesser pain. So we spoke about Hashem having a double pain. Pain when we're sinning and pain when we're being healed. Ulechein, next paragraph. Kushakol tachlis tfilas sa'odim lefon of Yisrael Shmo. When a person who is in pain, now why is the person in pain? Because Hashem wants him to help him to do tshuva. And therefore, when all of the intention of the prayer of the person who's suffering, is now crying to Hashem, if that person will have the intention, right? Tachlis tfilas sa'odim lefon of Yisrael Shmo, is towards Hashem, lahasime alav tzaro, that he wants to remove Hashem's pain. If the person who is in pain says, but Hashem's also in pain, and he's now going to daven for Hashem's pain, if that will be the person's intention, then he'll daven for Hashem's pain, hurak al tzar shel mala, and it'll be for the sake of Hashem, hamishtatif imo betzar, because he knows Hashem is feeling his pain together with him, so therefore he's feeling sorry for Hashem. He says, my pain meila, but Hashem's in pain on my account. So he's sensitive to that. He's davening for Hashem's pain, v'shavu mischarit be'emes, and therefore he has a true regret for the sins that he's done, because he feels that has caused Hashem's pain. Alavoinu shegorim al yode atzar shel malo, right? Because of his sin, which caused the pain that is felt in the heavens. As a yisuri mistalkim alav, then firstly his afflictions are removed. I'm going to explain in a minute, there's a big difference between, these intention makes a huge difference, we'll see in a minute. If let's say a person's been sinning, and he's now got afflictions, and he's only davening because of his own afflictions, he's not sensitive to Hashem's pain, he's davening because of his own afflictions, so it could be he'll do tshuva, but all he's interested in is getting rid of the afflictions, he's not that interested in remedying the sins that brought him to the state, because he just wants to get rid of the afflictions, so he might correct something, but it's going to be a more of a minimal correction, because he just wants enough of a correction that he won't suffer the pain anymore. However, that's level one. So there, he's only interested in removing the pain that was inflicted him because of his sins. He's not really interested in fixing the sins. But when a person is sensitive to Hashem's pain, then he's really thinking, because why is Hashem in pain? Right? Hashem sent me these afflictions. It must be because Hashem suffers me with me because of what I've done, because of my affliction, because of why I got to the affliction, because of my sin. Because if he's sensitive to Hashem's feeling his pain, he must also be sensitive to the fact that it's his sins that have brought the situation of pain. So then he's going to be davening also for the sin, the pain caused to Hashem because of the sin. once he realizes that it's Hashem's in pain, he'll also realize it's because of his sins that Hashem was in pain, and then he'll really want to remove his sins. He won't just want to remove his pain. He'll want to remove the sins that brought him to that pain. And therefore, that's the high level. That's the chiddush here. If you only daven for your own pain, it's the lesser tshuva. If you daven because of Hashem's pain, then you'll also realize that Hashem had pain when you sinned, and if you daven for Hashem's double pain. And therefore, listen to his reward, and therefore, it's not only this, then the heavens will reward him measure for measure. We've got a concept of measure for measure. What you give is what you receive. So he's therefore giving a greater service to Hashem, and he'll be rewarded in kind. And they double his resources. Because he doubled for Hashem's double pain, so they give him double resources. Now the concept of panosa, what has panosa got to do with it? You were davening for Hashem's pain. What's it panosa got to do with? Panosa means your livelihood, which means the resources you need with which to serve Hashem. If you want to live a life of Torah and mitzvahs, you want to keep Shabbos, right? You want to whatever. You want to keep the Yom Tovim. You need money. You need health. You need strength. You need energy. You need a lot of resources. You need time. So you need the resources. So if you're more interested in serving Hashem, then you get more resources. Hashem, that's panosa. Panosa is your resources. That's what, right? The fact that you can pay for a Shabbos is the resources. So if you're really interested in honoring Shabbos, so Hashem gives you more. The Gemara says that a person, that all the panosa of a person is fixed on Rosh Hashanah, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, except for what he spends on Shabbos in Yom Tov and the education of his children. Why? Because when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, they also give a panosa. They say, this guy normally spends such and such for Shabbos. Let's say he normally spends, whatever, 300 rand for Shabbos. Okay, that's his normal. So then they account for that. They cater that in. Now this guy, we know he normally spends so much for Shabbos, so they work it into his budget. But then this guy suddenly wakes up one day, he says, no, I need to honor Shabbos more. I'm going to go up from 300, I'm going to go up to 400, I'm going to go to 500 for honor Shabbos. So in the heavens they say, wait, 1 minute, he's changed it. So then they'll adjust it. That's what it means. In other words, if you're doing for Hashem, so Hashem's interested in helping you to do for Him. You're doing for Him, you're working for Him. So if you're working for Him, He's going to give you the resources to work for Him. It's like an expense account. You're working for the company, and so the company says, well, you need a car, you need a secretary, you need an office, you need air conditioning, you need 3 phones or 4 phones, you need SMS, whatever it is you need, because you're working for the company. We have to supply, we have to help you to help us. So that's Kofli Luponosa. Since he's sensitive to what the heavens need, and he's working on both accounts, the both types of pain that the heavens feel, so therefore he also receives double resources. And his panos is doubled. Negatshtei minei tzar shigorim lamala, corresponding to the two types of pain. So the double resources corresponding to the double pain that was felt in the heavens. Atam ischaret al shneim, and now he has regret about both of them, the pain of the afflictions and the pain of the sinning. Zdeinus mishafches loyleschus, and we know when you do a proper tshuva, and your sins become mitzvahs. So therefore, you've got a double mitzvah, and therefore you've got a double reward. Now we know a lot of the laws of prayer we learn from Chana. Chana was barren for years and years and years, and then she davened once a desperate prayer to Hashem. Once she davened before, she was relying on her husband. She thought he was davening for her. Then one day he suddenly revealed to her that he wasn't that concerned. He had another wife, and the other wife had 10 kids. So he wasn't that worried about Chana. So when she realized one day her husband's not that worried about her, then she said, oh yeah, I better take care of myself. And she's davened this amazing prayer. And this is really when she got the bracha, she had a child, she had Shmuel. Shmuel was one of the greatest of prophets that we ever had, her son Shmuel. So from Chana, the Gemara says about her prayer, the Gemara says like this, "V'hi moris nefesh," she was bitter of soul, "v'tispalel al Hashem," and she davened on Hashem. What do you mean on Hashem? She said she davened for Hashem, to Hashem. She davened to Hashem. What's she davened on Hashem? So he says like this, "She'tichet dvorim klapei mala." She transferred her pain to Hashem's pain. She davened on Hashem for Hashem's pain. She was in pain, and she said to herself, if I'm in pain, it must be that Hashem is in pain, and I'm going to daven for Hashem's pain. And that's what the Gemara learns, because it says, "Dispalel al Hashem." She davened concerning Hashem. On Hashem, concerning Hashem and not concerning herself. And the expression the Midrash and Chazal use is, "She'tichet dvorim klapei mala." She cast her words heavenwards. She cast her words towards the heavens. Now the word heticha is an interesting word. Latiach. Tiach in Hebrew means plastering. Plaster. You know, you build a wall with bricks and cement, and after you build the wall, you plaster it. So if you ever seen how the plasterers work, they first sling it on the wall, and then they smoothen it with a smoothener, right? With a whatever they call those things, a trowel or whatever it's called. So therefore, but they throw the plaster. That's called latiach. Latiach is to throw plaster. So the expression of throwing it on Hashem is like that guy is throwing the plaster. They throw it on Hashem, and it's sometimes used in a negative sense. Because sometimes it's used that, you know, the tzaddik will be complaining, Hashem, why did you do this to the Jewish people? Why did you tempt the Jewish people with all sorts of sins? So he throws it on Hashem. So sometimes hiticha is used in a, it's not really negative, because when a tzaddik prays to Hashem and he casts word on Hashem, there's a deeper intention. It's not really negative. But it sounds sort of negative. It sounds got a little bit of a negative connotation. So that's called Latiach Dvarim, to throw your words on Hashem. But it also has a positive meaning, and that is, this is the case of Hannah. She threw her words on Hashem. That's what the Midrash says about Hannah. She threw her pain on Hashem's pain. And that's what he says. Roitzen Loima, Hagam she atzma haisa maris nefesh, even though she herself was bitter, years and years and years, without a child. And moreover, her co-wife, Pnina, used to rub it in all the time. She had 10 kids, and she used to mamish egg her on. She used to upset her. She used to mamish upset her. The Chazal says her intention was for the good, because she wanted to egg her on to daven. But really, she was punished, because when you hurt another Jew, you get it's a very, very severe sin. So, but Pnina used to mamish make her miserable. So she was very upset. So even though she was very, very upset, even though she was very bitter, Chana, in Kol Zeh, nevertheless, Hishlicha Tzara Mineged, she threw her pain away from herself. She wasn't concerned with her own pain. She said, I'm not concerned with my own pain. I'm not davening for my own pain. She threw the plastering, right? She cast her words of prayer. Iticha divei tefilosa lefon of Yisborach, right onto Hashem al tzar shel mala, concerning the pain that's felt in the heavens, Hashem's pain. And Hashem's, her pain reflects Hashem's pain, and therefore it's a double pain. If the child's been withheld from her, it must be that she's not doing something right. Why is she being denied this child? Every woman wants to have a child. Why is she denied a child? Must be there's something that she should be doing. She was a big tzedekas. There's something she should have been doing that she wasn't doing. So therefore the pain of the Shemaim is the double pain. And she threw the pain on Hashem. And therefore she said, if I'm in pain, the heavens are in pain, and she governed for Hashem's pain. So there is our example of this. This is from Hannah's, one of the examples that we learn this idea. Also the Midrash, the Gemara says, Shagam Moshe, Hitziach Dvorim Klapei Mala. Moshe also threw his words on Hashem. He also threw his prayers on Hashem. Because the passage is Al Tikre El Hashem. It doesn't say Ibadavn El Hashem, which means to Hashem, Ela Al Hashem, concerning Hashem, on Hashem, concerning Hashem. He davened concerning Hashem about Hashem's pain, because if I'm in pain, said Moshe Rabbeinu, then Hashem is in pain. So he davened about Hashem's pain. So he says, why did Chazal have to explain that that's what Moshe means? Maybe we'll just say that he davened on Hashem is concerning his own needs. He davened to Hashem. No, Chazal said he's davening for Hashem, for Hashem's pain. Chazal understood that that was Moshe's intention, because it must be obviously something that's very praiseworthy. That's what we're going to say here. Moshe Rabbeinu threw his prayers on Hashem's pain. Right? Amnam Namal Yusuhu Dashoch. The sages said that about Moshe, that that's Pshatim Moshe, threw the prayers on Hashem. He was davening for Hashem's pain. That's because they're coming to praise Moshe. They're not coming to put Moshe down. They're coming to say the praise of Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, the Chazal understood that to be davening for Hashem's pain is much greater than to be davening for your own pain. And now he adds a last point on this, and this is actually in brackets, but it's along the same lines. It's Pnei Mevin Lahavin. It's for the one who wants to have understanding, the one who wants insight, so he needs to understand. Al derech zeh, in the same way, Masha'amu Sham Od, what our sages have said over there, Shigam Eliyahu Hitziach Dvorim Klapei Mala. Eliyahu Novi also cast words against the heavens or towards the heavens. Shenema. And he says, Ata hisiboses liba macharonis. You turn their heart backwards. We know in Eliyahu's time, in Yonovi's time, a lot of people in the ten tribes were serving idols. They were serving the Baal. The Baal was one of the most well-known idols in those times. So therefore they were serving idols. So he comes with to a complaint with Hashem. He's casting his words on Hashem. And he's saying, you caused their hearts to be turned around. You caused their hearts to be turned around. Meaning, you gave them a test that was a very hard test. That was something beyond them. And they've all succumbed to this test. And therefore, you know, you could have made it easier for them. You could have made it easier for them to be loyal to Hashem and not turn to idols. You could have changed the conditions of the test, make it less of a test. So therefore, he threw words against Hashem. You've turned their hearts back from them, against them. And there's a very deep point here as follows. That the concept of the rock of my heart is a pasuk in Tehillim. The rock of my heart means that my heart is really Hashem. We speak about the heart of the matter. A person has a heart. His heart, he's feeling hearts. He's feeling, you know, he's feeling a heartache. He's got pain in his heart. Spiritually speaking, the heart is Hashem himself. The heart is, so to speak, withdrawn. The heart itself is Hashem. Hashem somehow has withdrawn his help. Because we know that a person sometimes is very inspired to do things. So it's his heart that inspires him. Because we use the term heart to, heart normally means desire. A person who has a heartfelt desire, we speak about. A person who has a very strong desire to do things, to do mitzvahs, or whatever it is that he wants to do. Right? He wants to build buildings, whatever he wants to do. And he has a burning desire. So we say that his heart is on fire. It's from the heart. The heart is the desire. And Hashem is referred to as the heart. So he says, you've withdrawn your heart from them. Now, part of the reason Hashem does withdraw his heart is specifically when it comes to the sin of Avodah Zarah. But specifically when people have turned their loyalty to something else, to statues of gold and silver and wood and copper and stone, so then Hashem withdraws even more so, because Avodah Zarah is one of the worst sins, because you're putting your faith into something else. You've moved your faith away from Hashem. So that's what he was saying. You've taken your heart away from them. You're making things too hard for them. So he was also davening for Hashem. He was davening for Hashem. Hashem, you put them in the situation. You're suffering. So there also we see by Leonovi also this concept of, right, putting the focus of his prayers on Hashem's state, not on his own state. But I and Zoya Truma, see in the Zoya over there, Kamoshikosu, right? And also Kamoshikosu is also possible in Yeshayahu, Upishechem, Shulche Imchem. It's a verse in Yeshayahu that says that through your sins, your mother has been sent away. Your mother, referring to Hashem. Hashem is also called your mother. Your mother, the divine presence, the Shekhinah, is referred to as your mother. Through your sins, you've lost your mother. The mother goes into exile. You've lost your mother. Jewish people have wandered away from the mother, like a kid who wanders away from his mother. And he wanted to see the toys, and he wanted to see the sweets, and he wanted to play with his friends, and he's wandered away from his mother. He's lost. He's totally lost. The Jewish people have wandered away from their mother. So therefore, these verses are reflecting that the fact that Hashem is the one who's the loser, so to speak, by the sins of the Jews, by the sins of the Yidden. Heshiv acho yaminoi. He's withdrawn his right hand. Hashem withdraws his help from us. You've turned your heart away from them because of their sins, but you're suffering, and you're not helping them. And the whole situation could be different. If you would help them more, then your pain would be less. Their pain would be less. They would do tshuva, etc. That was what Eliyahu was saying to Hashem. Chaim afurish b'priyetz Chaim. Also, this is how it's explained in the Priyetz Chaim. Also, is a famous work in the Indian tradition. Yochid al tsari. Now, when it comes to the prayer of the individual concerning the pain, concerning the issue of pain, the pain of Hashem, his intention should be for the needs of the heavens. That should be the focus. That's the ideal. So if that's true, when it comes to the prayer, we should know that when the sages fixed the blessings for us, when they authored this, Anshe Knesset HaGedolah originally authored the Siddur, the Shmoneh Esrei, and all of the brochas, they set up all the brochas. The Holy Assembly. This was 120 sages who lived at the time of the construction, of the building of the second temple. Great, great men. Great men. Some of them had been seen in the first temple. 120 top sages, and amongst them, there were prophets. Some of them were prophets in that. So they were very, 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 very lofty tzaddikim, very great chachomim. So certainly, if we as individuals need to cast our prayers on Hashem, we have to be davening for Hashem's fame. So they for sure understood this principle. And when they set up the brachas, when they formulated all the different prayers that we said, right? The matbeh brachas atvila kvua v'sdura mi'anshe k'neser k'doshim v'ada ra'u sh'lod echad me'im klal l'tzeich atzmo. So they certainly had this intention, and therefore certainly we should not have intention just for ourselves, as is the simple reading. And here, certainly the rabbis who authored these blessings had Hashem's needs in mind, and therefore we should also have Hashem's needs in mind, because that's using it properly. It's using the brachas that they authored in the proper way, because that must have been their intention also. They also understood this great secret of davening for Hashem's fame. So therefore it was really in the formula of the blessings. Letzeka v'olavad, you should be davening for the needs of the heavens alone. The hamshech tesef is ribui brachu kedusha leilomis, to draw down additional blessings and holiness onto the upper worlds. Because when we bless Hashem, then the upper worlds become empowered, as we spoke about before. Because then Hashem sends His blessings down from onto the upper worlds, as we spoke about at length. So if you're focusing on Hashem's need, Hashem needs us to be a clever people, that we can live in a clever way. So give us wisdom for your sake, that we can be a people that will honor your name to a greater degree. There will be a bigger Kiddush Hashem. So we can be loving. Hashem should give the Jewish people wisdom, which is the first bracha. Or we can help the Jewish people to do tshuva, which is the second bracha. Or that the Jewish people should receive forgiveness, which is the third bracha. Or that Hashem should redeem us, fourth bracha. Or heal us, fifth bracha. Or send us panos, sixth bracha, etc., etc. So that can all be that we should function as we should, that we should live as we should, and there should be a big kiddush Hashem, because the Jewish people will be a glorious people, all living for the sake of Hashem. And Hashem obviously is only going to give us those things if we're using them in the right way. Right? That company employer that's got the secretary and the car and the whole thing, that's as long as he's doing his job well. If he starts playing video games in the office all day and he stops doing his job, right, and there goes the secretary, there goes the car, there goes the job. Get kicked out. Lose everything. Even his job you'll lose in the end. If he's working well for the company, then the company elevates him. But if he's, you know,